What's up, everybody on Money Talk? This is the Prosperity Professor. It's good to be back Thursday night. What's happening, everybody?
And good morning, everybody. We're coming on the air with breaking news. This is the New York Stock Exchange. The Dow will drop and drop quickly, and we're already seeing.
At the moment, Stephanie, it looks like stocks are surging.
Well, and good evening. Today's stock story is investing. Do you know what it is and how to do it? Well, there's a team out here calling themselves Money Talk with Professor, and all heroes don't wear capes.
This is the Prosperity.
This is Brandon Anthony.
Listening to Money Talk.
You are now listening to Money Talk.
If I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me? Bad times are coming and I reap what I done sold.
What's up? What's up? What's happening? Brandon, you're with us today.
What's going on, everybody?
This is the Prosperity Professor. You're listening to Money Talk.
What's going on, everybody? I'm your man with a plan, Brandon Anthony Clark. You can find me on Instagram at All Heroes Don't Wear Capes, but we're ready to get this thing cracking tonight, man. We got something real special for y'all, like always, you know.
Let's get our clips going up. Brandon, you're going to be on Instagram. You're going to find me on my live at The Prosperity Professor?
Yes, I am. I'm ready for you, man. We're ready to get it going. We got a jam-packed show for you here today. Man, but anyway, man, how was your day been, man? We didn't really get a chance to talk before the show tonight, but you know we always like to check in and just kind of see how each other's day went, and you know, just share our stories of success.
100%.
Absolutely, man. I actually had a really really busy day today. You know, one of the lessons I think that's kind of come out of this show is we've been, you know, reaching out to a lot of different people. And there have been a number of people that have just reached out to me personally just to kind of get more information on, you know, some of the strategies and things that we're able to do for people. And it's really humbling. I want to use the word humbling. Right. To, you know, for that just really for that to really have it actually happen, you know, just coming from where we come from and all the things that we've learned, you know, it hasn't been an easy journey to get where we are
today.
What's up, guys? And by no means are we done with that journey. But, man, it's just really cool. Really cool, man.
100%. 100%, man. And that's what I kind of want to get to tonight. I want to get a little bit more into, you know, our dreams and goals for how we've worked together. And I also want to give ultimately some strategies to anyone listening, how they can seek out some meaningful connections like the ones that we found, and really make things happen. Now let's figure out the audio real quick because I've now switched some things. Are you getting feedback?
I'm not getting any feedback. Are you getting any feedback? I just got a little bit of feedback right there.
How's that? Is that better?
Let's see. It sounds like it might be. Oh, I can hear myself in the background. I hear a little bit of an echo back there.
I think what it is this one.
Yeah, man, we got a lot of people hopping on, man. What's going on, everybody? How's everyone doing? You are now watching Money Talk Live Uncut, man. We got a jam-packed show for you today. Some of the topics of discussion. We're talking about mentorship. We're talking about group economics. If y'all been watching the news, I'm sure you've been seeing the memes on GameStop and AMC Theater and all that stuff. So we're definitely going to talk about that tonight, as well as some big plans, like a broader picture, a bigger picture, some stuff that we want to talk about as well.
100%.
So,
Brandon,
I am getting a lot of echo in the background.
Still right now?
A lot of echo.
Here, let me try this. It's is basically it's coming in from the sound into the phone, right? So can you take maybe your headphones out
okay.
and listen to the phone? Because I don't think our people are listening. Hey, anybody that's listening, can you just let us know real quick? Do you have feedback? We just want to get. I want to get going with this.
Absolutely.
I think we should be good on Instagram. I think it's just what we're hearing from the radio show. We're also on Blog Talk Radio. Shout out to NS Father, Father Radio. Amazing
yes.
nonprofit charity organization that does great work for fatherhood and families. And we're just honored to be able to speak on their platform as well on blogtalkradio.com. I think we're good now, right?
We're about to find out.
All right, so let's get
I
a crack.
Can hear, I can hear echo. Question, do you have your audio on your Instagram? Turn your audio all the way down on your Instagram live on your phone. Now we might have action.
Is that all right?
Now we're good. Now it's perfect. Oh, no, we're not. I can still hear myself in the background.
Hold on. I know how to fix this, guys. I might have to jump right back, but let me do this. I'll jump right back.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get it going, man.
Fuck.
All right, so let's here. I'm gonna. Do I need to call back in?
Let's try this. Are we back? Is this all right? Kind of painful, man.
All right.
This is the power.
Let's
this is
see.
The power of working together, and then also kind of the fault. We're trying to figure out some audio. We got three different things. If anybody knows a good sound guy, I know that we're in the market for one.
Yeah.
But I wanted to speak a little bit tonight, really about the powers and keys of collaboration. And I know that in the past year, if just our regular advisory business from Brandon and I coming together, that rapidly scaled really fast. And then going into real estate, I found yet again, working together was absolutely key, right? And we've seen tons of stories and events of history where nothing of that amazing event would have happened if it weren't for the power of coming together and working together.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited for this show tonight because I think we have a couple cool angles that a lot of people may not have in mind about ways to work together and what they're doing. And then, Brandon, like you said, we want to kind of talk a little bit big picture about where we're trying to head. And we're inviting anybody to kind of hop on this Noah's Ark, so to speak, because our vision is something truly, truly dynamic and different. And another change of pace. And we want to offer people another way instead of what the traditional systems have been offering. But again, it all comes down to collaboration. And I think, Brandon, I think maybe the easiest example of it is probably working together with a coach. And you've talked a lot about this.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if maybe you could bring it up again, any kind of experiences you had of engaging or using or leveraging a coach or a mentor in any situations in your life or business.
Man, my whole life has been about mentorship and coaching. I think back on it to like growing up because I played sports. And so anybody who's ever played sports and had a coach, man, you don't really, I feel like we don't really appreciate the lessons that we learn from our coaches and from, taking sports. As we grow up and become adults, because a lot of the lessons that you learn from playing group sports actually carry over into life, right? So I people used to always ask this question, or not necessarily people used to always ask this question, but I noticed that when I used to apply for jobs, they would ask if you were in any sports. Did you get any awards playing sports? And I was like, why do they care about sports on a job? But now looking back, I understand the logic behind it, because somebody who's been successful in sports might have had talent, but they also, if they excelled, that means they were able to take what a coach said, like feedback, constructive criticism, to take their game to the next level. Right? So that's just one level in sports. But I feel like life is a game. You know what I'm saying? Like football might be a sport, but life is the ultimate sport, and it never stops. You know what I'm saying? And so having a life coach a life coach, somebody that could actually help you in life, is priceless and valuable, because you got somebody who is coming from maybe where you came from, who's become successful, and they can tell you exactly what they did in order to get there and just even kind of help you out. And so that's, I feel like, a huge benefit. And I think everybody should definitely leverage a coach.
Yeah, that reminds me of this a typical phrasing in, like, leadership training or, like, growth mindset is, you know, I think Dan Penis talks about it a lot, where he says, you know, show me five of your friends and I'll tell you your future, right? Your associations kind of end up playing off on who you are and what you do every day, right? Because if you're hanging around winners who are constantly making sales, constantly doing deals, constantly looking for new incomes or new ways to grow and expand, well, that's going to rub off on you, because that's all you're talking about, right? Similarly, if you're hanging around with people like, and there's nothing wrong with this, this is what it is. It's like, if you're just hanging around with people that just want to drink and party, play video games all day, like, that's what it's going to be, right? That's all you're seeing. That's all your exposure. Beautifully Unorthodox said it just right now, and I kind of jinxed her in my train of thought too. Your level of exposure determines your level of success, and that's exactly right. So that's a piece of connections. So maybe if instead of, you know, sometimes you don't want to leave your groups of friends, a way around that is to get a life coach. I love that idea. But are there other types of coaches that you've used besides a life coach?
Man, I use a coach in everything, and that's kind of cool, because I'm not a specialist in every area of my life, you know. So life coach is more, because I believe in, like, different areas of life, like spiritual life. So I feel like I personally need, like, a spiritual coach, right? Because I believe, like, if you can't take care of your spiritual health, I believe that your physical life is the opposite of what your spiritual life is like. So if you're not doing great spiritually or mentally, then your life will be a reflection of it, right? And so I didn't really comprehend that until, like, literally, like, a few years ago. And I started getting my mental health, my spiritual health in tune. And what I did there was I was able to get coaches, not just direct coaches, but, like, going on YouTube.
100%.
Listening to very successful entrepreneurs, reading books. Like, I read one book, Think and Grow Rich and The Laws of Success. I
Napoleon
literally read
Hill.
That book
absolutely
continuously, because of the spiritual context it gives you just on just fundamental natural law, right? And so that's incalculable. So spiritual side. But then on the business side, because there is no, even if you major in business at school, like in college, if that was your major in business management, they don't teach you nothing about business management. They don't teach you nothing about business
management.
There's
an Office episode about that, but you're exactly right, right?
Right. For real, man. So what's funny, man, is now I'm actually reaching a point in my business to where I'm super busy and I'm overwhelmed with work to where I know I need help, you know. And I'm like, wait a minute. I can manage myself. I know what I'm doing. But now can I train other people to, like, do the same thing that I'm doing so that it can free me up to do other things? As well as teach the other people how to, you know what I'm saying? So now I'm actually going to my business coach, because he does it. He's successful. He has an operation of over 100 advisors throughout the country.
Exactly.
And so I can go to him and say, hey, man, what should I do? You know, and he can basically walk me through it. So he's coaching me.
Wow.
So I can coach somebody else.
I just came to a huge little definition realization in what you were just saying. The difference between being self-employed and a business is collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between being self-employed and having a business that will work without you there is literally collaboration. And so what better way to figure out how to build that for yourself, for your own self-employment, to transfer to business mode, than by following from a business mentor themselves?
Right.
Wow.
Exactly.
What kind of advice would you give to someone, you know, maybe from personal experience? Because I just know from knowing us, we've had some amazing business coaches. I never went to school for business. People that know me know I went to school. I studied philosophy, history, and curriculum design. I was a teacher. And yet, now in just a few short years, we've gone from, you know, $100 sales, $1,000 sales, $100,000 sales, to now talking to people about million and billion dollar deals. And it's like, all of that stems back to collaboration. But if you had to identify some key things, some places of how you got your foot in the door, you know, what advice would you give to someone that doesn't have any connections yet?
Whew, man. The first thing is going, you got to overcome yourself, your fears. This might sound silly, but do you know how afraid a lot of people are? I'm going to say most people are, of talking to other people. A lot of people are just afraid to talk to other people or network with other people. Like, I used to be one of them. Because it's like, well, what do I say to this person?
Right.
You know, like, you just really don't know, like, what to say, how to build how do you build a connection with somebody, a stranger, out of nothing?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I feel like that's, like, a number one, that's a skill that you really got to learn, is learn how to just network.
How to talk to people, right?
How to talk to people.
Give them a compliment.
How do you connect with
them? That's the question. That was what I always did.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with that. If it's sincere, right? If it's authentic. That was always my.
It's got to be sincere and got to be authentic.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. You can't be out there just going out there trying to recruit people. Talking about building.
Well,
connections,
no.
Likely.
And then, so just
when
you're
doing...
Shout out to any other financial advisors that are listening. And I think a big problem for a lot of financial advisors, or maybe anybody in the service business, is how do I get more clients, right? Well, here's a key piece of collaboration. Instead of thinking about how to find more people, think more specifically about what you're saying to people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that goes right onto the piece of collaboration. How do you set up collaboration?
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to talk to people is definitely a big piece of that,
yeah.
Right? And learning how to establish yourself as a person of value so that people want to work with you takes less pressure.
Absolutely.
On. Working at something you believe in with great conviction takes a lot of the pressure off. I have a big sign. I always say this.
Yeah.
If you do it right, it'll be easy.
It'll be easy.
Originally, when you used to sell crap, it's hard. It's hard to go door-to-door when you're selling crap, right? But it's a lot easier to go door-to-door when you have literal bricks of gold and you're selling it for 4 pennies each, right?
Mm-hmm. That's different. Now,
so,
I want to give an actionable step for people who are afraid to talk to other people.
Yeah.
These are some steps.
What's that? I'm going to write it down.
So there's a book you can read. There's a book. It's called How to Talk to Anyone. Just read that book.
I thought you'd say Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, which is another great one.
Yeah, that's another great book, man. But that's going to go back into – this is really good because we're talking about mentorship.
It's collaboration.
Talking about mentorship.
All about working together.
Collaboration.
Through mentors, 100%.
Yeah.
So we have
building
coaches
skills,
for life.
Man.
We have coaches for business. Mm-hmm. And then there's kind of the piece where – and I see myself as the latter of that, but more so strictly around – financial coaching. And how important is it to have, you know, someone in your corner who has your best interest in mind? That means they're not just telling you to put all your money in the market or put all your money in crypto. Like, who is in your corner, you know, checking on you about your expenses, checking on you about how you're spending your money, checking on you about how you're growing your money. What would you say about having a financial coach?
Oh, man, I think it's extremely important. I think it's extremely important. Like, this is going to go back to, man, you should have a coach for everything that you're not an expert in, you know. So if you're not an expert in losing weight, you might need to get a coach for that. If you're not an expert in money, you definitely might want to get a coach for that, especially if you want to have some. Now, I'm going to say this as well. Even me, I work in money, and I got a financial coach.
Right.
Why? Because he's got more money than I got.
Right.
And so I want to know how much I want to eventually get myself to a point in time or a place where I can have as much and even more money than that person. Right?
I was
so
the same
how do
way,
I
man.
Do that? Got to figure out what does he do with his money and just do the same thing.
When I first got into the financial industry, I thought $1 million was so far away. Like, it was like this mythical place that David Bowie lives in, and there's like Jim Henson creatures there. Like, that was $1 million for me. And then I worked with the financial firm where, you know, we had top producers that were pulling that in every year, and by my association, the number became smaller. it became closer and within grasp, right? And then we just start to develop certain habits that make it much easier to see the pathway there. And then you switch mentors. Then you outgrow your shell like a hermit crab. You go to a new one. And now my financial coach has $3 billion of his clients' money that will never be subject to income taxes, right? If it's working for $3 billion, I think it'll help me elevate myself, right? But it's just sort of associating yourself to other people that are doing the things you want to do.
That you want to do, and who are at a place in their life to where you see yourself eventually getting. You know what I'm saying? You know what's kind of cool is like I might be one of the rare financial professionals who, if someone makes more money than I make, I typically won't advise them. I'll get a second opinion by somebody who makes as much money as they make, because I feel like, well, I'm at a certain level, right? And I believe on like these wavelengths, right? So meaning I can see at a certain level. And how could I manage someone else's money that has way more money than me if I don't have it? Because who knows what I would do if I had twice the amount of money I would have. So I would look at things differently. I might have positioned things differently, right? So I like to get a second eyeball on it just to have a second opinion.
Here's what I'm going to say.
You know what
I'm
saying?
And you're doing exactly what I just mentioned. You're seeking an opinion for someone who's in a shell a little bit bigger than yours. But what are you doing simultaneously is you're learning how to treat that shell, right?
Yeah,
and so
that's exactly the point I was coming to.
Eventually, you're going to be shelled up to a place where, like, oh, you know, at the second or third case you see that, you're like, oh, have you thought of this? And chances are, Brandon, and I say this to you all the time, just because someone has a lot of money doesn't mean they know what to do with it.
Right.
And I would argue that a lot of the people at the top of the 1% don't even know about some of the things that we do. But we're coming.
For real, though. You know, I haven't even told this story yet, but a couple weeks ago, I don't even know if I told you about this.
I'm excited.
I met a lady. She hit me up. She was like, I seen one of your videos. You was on TikTok Live, and I had just bought this life insurance policy, and from the way you were describing it, I don't think mine looks right because X, Y, and Z. She was like, well, I'm putting $2,000 a month in it, and I got this big death benefit of $3 million. I was like, oh, yeah, that definitely doesn't sound right already. But she said that. And as we're going through our process, and we're just I'm just talking to her, I started finding out that literally she's paid over $1 million in taxes in the last 3 years.
Wow.
On top of that, she has $600,000 in cash just sitting in the bank.
Wow.
Another $2 million sitting in another account. I think it was maybe some sort of escrow account that's just kind of sitting there.
Wow.
And she's like, I know it shouldn't be there, but she was like, I need your help. She was like, I'm so glad I found you. And here's what I told her. I'm like, look, you got more money right now than I actually know what to do with. So here's what I'm going to do for you. I got somebody who can definitely teach you. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to learn and soak up all of the game because of that experience. Like, I don't care if I don't make any money, but guess what?
That's
I'm
right.
going to get experience.
The knowledge.
Priceless.
The knowledge.
The knowledge.
100%.
Wisdom.
And that's what you get. That's what you get with collaborating with coaches. It's an into knowledge that you didn't have access to previously, and and with that knowledge, you can kind of elevate your life to another place, much faster than doing it brick by brick and finding the things out for yourself.
Absolutely, man. That's cool, man. What would you say to that, man? As far as like your a money coach. What are your thoughts on that? Because, you know, you're the prosperity professor, and I love your ideas and different nuances.
I have a lot of money coaches. And like I just said, my first money coach was a millionaire, and he helped me out significantly in elevating my mindset. Did I become a millionaire under him? No, not at all. But I can see the pathway there. After that, it expanded my mind to finding other coaches. Not just in person, also YouTube mentors and books, but now I read about billionaires, and I read about how billionaires think. And I used to be someone who thought that number was not attainable, and I'm starting to see the pathway to that now.
Wow, right? That's cool, man. I want to tell you about something this morning.
Yeah.
I literally wrote down a new goal for myself.
You have a new goal?
That's what it was. Because I was aiming at millions.
A billion?
I switched that up. Literally this
morning.
I want to share with you guys tonight
about how the movement that we're trying to, that we are building right now will end up to be in the multiple billions. And it's through collaboration, 100%.
Right.
So I think with that, I'm going to just pause the radio show and I'll mute us both so we can kind of keep talking. We're going to go ahead and pay the bills on Blog Talk Radio, NSF Fatherhood, shout out. You're listening to Money Talk.
Do it.
This is the Prosperity Professor and Brandon Clark at All Heroes Don't Wear Capes. We'll be right back after this message. What's up, Money Talk? This is the Prosperity Professor. You can catch me on all social media pages with that handle. And I'm joined with my amazing partner, Mr. Brandon Anthony Clark, the man with a plan. You can catch him at all.
Yeah, what up?
Capes. We're talking tonight about collaboration and working together to create something bigger than yourself, to contribute to something that's bigger than yourself, and in a way that it's going to give back and elevate to you and those around you. And we started off our chat with mentorship. You can collaborate with a business, a life, and a financial coach to elevate yourself at a rapid speed. And in the second half of the show, I want to talk a little bit more about group economics and a couple instances that I see that are really revolutionizing the game as far as how to build wealth. And it all comes down to working together. And case in point, what's going on today with the stock market, basically this week. All right, Brandon, so let me break it down for you, man.
Please break it down, man, because I got a little bit lost. Like, I understood it, but I still got a little bit lost. Like, how did I miss the boat on this one?
Okay,
so break it down for everybody.
You can check my Instagram story at The Prosperity Professor, and I have tons of memes, Facebook posts, Reddit posts, and overall summaries of what happened. But long story short, giant hedge funds, and these are funds that are managing billions, basically have a lot of investors' money, and all the hedge funds are essentially doing the same thing. They're investing in the stock market, and what one particular firm, Melvin Capital, was doing was it was buying a massive short call on GameStop. What does that mean? They believed that the GameStop company's stock was going to continue to fall, and they bet on that, right? Well, what happened was, a small group of Redditors, Reddit, the forum, right, the internet forum, where everyone comes together to communicate and share ideas, a small Reddit forum of a measly 1.5 million people called Wall Street Bets essentially are betting against these massive shorts. And so the first one was GameStop. And so what happens is if enough people buy into the stock, it raises the price. What happens to the investment fund? They have to sell their shorts in order to cover and buy back stock in order to make up for that loss. What happens when that happens? It instantly raises the stock even more, and it's a short squeeze. So the price will rapidly incline. And so everybody that's getting on the train together, by working together, is manipulating the system and basically winning back from the hedge funds. Now, Brandon, you're going to share with us a couple of examples of how Wall Street and the big banks, they do this all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting and it's revolutionary to see that people gang up against Wall Street in a way that's just unprecedented. What was the response? Well, big trading things like platforms like Robinhood, Webull, TD Ameritrade basically canceled trading on these stocks that the Wall Street Reddit subforum had targeted. Of the list, AMC, GameStop, Nokia, BlackBerry, basically any nostalgic 90s technology company was kind of like the target for them. And it's just fascinating to me. So as it stands right now, tomorrow will be an interesting day. You can catch the markets at 4:30 a.m., or you can just see what I post at 9 or 10. I'll let you, everybody know what happens. I'm sure you'll find out soon enough. Robinhood and the other platforms have opened back up what they've called limited trading because they are also facing multiple class action lawsuits from multiple states and investments. Similarly, investment funds tried to jump in and help Melvin Capital. They tried to boost them back up with $1 billion each. Wall Street Bread said, okay, hold my beer, and each of the funds lost that billion almost overnight, jumping AMC price from $240 to $320, instantly wiping out the other two hedge funds that tried to come save Melvin Capital.
Hey, my question, man, for everybody who's listening to this right now, man, Ryan, could you tell us all what a hedge fund is?
Yeah, so a fund is basically a massive portfolio of investments. And when a fund starts out, and this is what I'm looking into because they're basically the next market that I'm going to be bringing the life insurance concepts to because there's ways they can leverage them. It's essentially a giant portfolio of investments. And in the contract of the investments, they state exactly what they're investing in. And it's all cleared by the SEC. And basically people, regular investors, regular people, you and me can invest into these types of funds. And they'll either pay a commission or a dividend, depending on the breakdown of the structure. A big one that a lot of people have heard of is called Vanguard, BlackRock. These are billion-dollar funds that a lot of people are invested in. And yet most of them are doing the same thing. They're just putting money into the stock market. They're working together to manipulate the market. And the people are reading into this, and they're using collaboration to exploit it.
Exactly, because that's exactly what the hedge funds do, right? That's exactly what the hedge funds do. And so what you said, what we kind of said earlier is like the people versus Wall Street. And it's all, Wall Street is a casino. It's literally, it's a big casino. And Wall Street, they're the dealer. Everybody else, the retail investor, is just the player. If you don't think that Wall Street knows some information that you don't know and we don't know, then come on, man. We ain't that smart.
Yeah.
Matt, how do I know? Because my mentor used to be a stockbroker for Morgan Stanley.
Right.
Series 7.
Right.
It didn't sit well with him. Like, being a stockbroker didn't sit well because of how he learned about how they actually will basically sell the good stuff to people with money, sell the dog crap to the other investor, and they have to turn right back around and sell the stuff that they said were dog crap to the other. Like, it's just like a really kind of messed up type of game from what he shared with me. And that's why he got out of that and got into more of the planning side.
And meanwhile, what else do all these hedge funds control? What else does Vanguard control? Right?
Do they control?
Huge percentages of everybody's employer retirement plans, right? Mm-hmm. Most of them are in these hedge funds or the same ETFs that the hedge funds are playing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what are we talking about now? Now we're talking about 80% of America's savings, their golden years, their American dream that they're putting away because their job offered it. That's the way, right? Everybody's doing 401ks and IRAs. It's qualified, right? Oh, I got a pension at my job. It's in the same fund, you guys. It's in the same one.
It's in the same.
Right?
It's in the all in the same fund, same money, right? And so this is one – I want to give everybody kind of like a simple scenario of how this stuff plays out because we got to learn how to follow the money. We got to learn how to follow the money, right? And so we know – I talk about this all the time, banking. Most people have an idea of banking being a place. Banking is a system. Right, banking is just borrowing money, leveraging money, or borrowing money and loaning money, borrowing money and loaning money. If I want to take something that I feel like everybody aspires to own, which is a home, most people want to at least own a home. And in order to buy a home, you got to get what? A mortgage. And so where do we go to get mortgages? We typically go to banks, right? Banks will offer a mortgage. And a lot of people are under the assumption that if you got a, let's say, for example, you got a loan from Bank of America and they have your mortgage, right? Well, they might have approved you for the mortgage, but I got a friend who approves mortgages. As soon as they actually approve the mortgage and the deal is done, guess what they do with that loan?
Yeah,
they sell it.
Yeah.
They sell it
again. Over and over again.
They sell it.
So they get their money back and do it again.
Right? They sell it. It's something called a mortgage-backed security. The mortgage-backed security, right? And so what they'll do is they'll sell this loan to a hedge fund. A hedge fund. We were just talking about a hedge fund. Guess who the hedge fund, or guess whose money is used to buy these mortgage-backed securities? It's the people. It's the pension fund. It's the retirement money that
right.
we all put our money into these 401ks, into these pensions, and they're actually using that money to go buy things like mortgage-backed securities. You know, so it's really the same money that we're paying for our mortgage, paying interest on that, that we're actually using to leverage our own retirement in some of these funds and things like that without not even really utilizing it.
That's right.
But it's all perfect. It's all perfectly legal.
Perfectly legal.
It's all
right?
Perfectly,
let's talk
it's
about.
All
let's
legal,
talk.
Man.
You know, your financial. You're talking about Series 6 and 63, and like I've been trained with people that have 6 and 63. I've been trained with CPAs. What's the issue? Is that all of the registrations and licensing around financial advisors, fiduciaries, people that have your best, your money's, your in best intentions in mind, they can only basically talk about accumulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if the market, whoopsies, loses 30%, you knew that was part of the game, right? They still collect
mm-hmm.
their 1% fee off your
mm-hmm.
money. And yet the system goes round and round. But hey, if you sit in it long enough, you'll get 10%, right?
Mm-hmm.
S&P 500, 10%, right? So
yeah.
There's got to be a better way, man.
Say.
It's in the battle between
way,
people versus Wall Street or people versus the banks. And we saw the same thing. I thought you were going to get to it with the mortgage-backed securities because this same thing that happened this week was actually spearheaded by another person who, and I think you're kind of losing out, but the person who spearheaded
yeah.
the shorts on GameStop also spearheaded shorts against the mortgage-backed securities. And this is when
yeah.
we saw the big bubble in 2008.
The big
right?
bubble in 2008.
And so there's multiple instances of Wall Street and the banks and other people fighting against the people. But I was hoping to kind of just end the show tonight with giving a couple examples of how regular people could get there, how regular people
right.
can collaborate and come together and build something new. And I'm really kind of excited. I hope Brandon comes back in. But the first example
yeah, I'm trying to
care about
I'm
that
actually trying to get back in
this
there,
idea
man.
Idea of buying back the block, and I have a feeling Brandon's
yeah.
going to die. But has anybody heard
yeah.
of that idea of buying back the block or working together to buy things together? And it can work in a few different ways, right? And one of the simplest examples I could say is, let's say you have four families, and each of them is deciding to save together $1,000 a month. Then you have each of those families to collectively saving $4,000 a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
At
right.
the end of the year, you have $48,000. At the end of the year, you buy a house for each family, right? Ms. Bland, you heard about this, right? Group economics, 100%.
Yeah, group economics.
And by year four, after each year, you buy a house. By end of the year at four, everybody has a house, right?
Right.
Take it one step further. If you buy all the same houses in the same block or the same street, now you manipulate the price of that market, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
Brandon, I know I'm not sure. Were you able to hear that on the radio too?
Yeah, I was able to hear it on the radio. Sorry about that, man.
All good, man.
I keep going in on Comcast. I hope you're listening to this, Comcast, Xfinity.
They're not.
Y'all
got to
do better with your internet.
We got to. That's another thing we should collaborate and beat them on. How do we take the airways back? That's another story.
Yeah,
but Brandon,
take,
you know,
man. Hey, loving it, man. Social media. Social media is where it's at, man. That's our way to take back over the world because the good thing about social media is that nobody controls. Well, so see.
No, it doesn't matter. No, I hear what you're saying. They can. They get bigger and bigger
yeah.
and control the airways.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happens? We just open up another one and another one.
Just
starts,
open up
right?
another one.
So what do you think
right,
about group
exactly.
economics, and have you ever seen any examples of it work, or are you working in some right now?
Yeah, group, of course, group economics always works. That's what the hedge fund just did, or that's what they do. The Reddit, the WSB, that's an example of group economics. It's one fund working towards a common goal. That's why life insurance is very attractive to me, because, number one, everybody can't get in it, right? They everybody's kind of working towards a common goal. That's literally like a hedge fund, literally. Right, but with a lot more guarantees, a lot more certainty, right? But I know you and I talk a lot about group economics as far as just being in the community because of you just know how it is, man. You go to the community, and especially like in the African-American community, there's not a lot of African-American businesses in the community. Like I just went to Georgia a couple months ago, like in like deep, deep South Georgia, Lumpkin, Georgia, you know, and it was like no black businesses as far as like, I'm not going to say no black businesses, but a lot of the businesses there were not black owned businesses in a black owned community.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's like that in a lot of places, not just in rural Georgia, but even in your big cities. Like it just kind of, it's just one of those things. And I think it's more so like the information and the knowledge.
Yes.
Right. The information and the knowledge. So, that's why I'm extremely passionate about speaking, and that's why you're extremely passionate about speaking and educating.
That's right.
Because I feel like the system tries to make everything seem complicated. Like we're not smart enough to be able to take initiative and learn all the ins and outs and nuances of business and economics and things like that. But that's false. You know, that's false. And like you and I were talking at length about getting into the lending business.
I just right? did today.
You did. All right. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, honestly, this actually goes a little bit farther into the next step and kind of the bigger piece that I'm dreaming about. And I want to recognize Esplan. Miss Bland is mentioning, are there any apps for group economics? And I think that's a really good idea. And if you can't find a good enough example of one, you should go make that because that's a $1 billion idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, and I'll post his stuff. I know there's one gentleman who's doing $100 million real estate deal in Pennsylvania, and he's inviting any and all young African-American entrepreneurs to just invest into the fund. And it's essentially just called crowdfunding real estate, right? And you can partner up with people all around an idea of crowdfunding real estate, and it's fairly easy to start a fund around that with simple terms and agreements, right? And then you were really talking about how there's a social aspect, an equity aspect here that should be considered, particularly around groups of people that are marginalized by the financial system, whether that's African Americans or minorities or just the lower class of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that what we're promoting and what we're teaching is the number one vehicle to promote the biggest type of change. And you and I were speaking about this on Martin Luther King Day. I said, I was like, this is, you know, it's a sensitive topic. I let you post it. And then I shared it was, man, how fast would Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream come true? His I Have a Dream speech. How fast would that come true if African-Americans bought $100 million of life insurance this year alone?
Mm-hmm.
What would happen to that generation? How quickly would generations come up if the generation before had the foresight to put in a life insurance policy, borrowed against it and come up through the journey of their life, but then at the point of death, they passed off not a liability, but a massive, massive tax-free asset. What kind of change would that promote?
What, man? Well, I know for sure. Economically, that would do wonders. That would do wonders. It was that I see a comment here that would literally change the game. Gabe Simeon put in here it would change the game, and it would, because wealth, number one, it has to be created, right? It can't be given. A lot of times, people who have wealth aren't going to give it away. And let's say even if you were to give wealth away to somebody who doesn't know what to do with wealth, then that wealth would just go right back to the wealthy person because they don't understand it. So that's why I really like to talk about financial literacy and education so that we can keep that wealth, keep that inside of our communities, inside of our coffers, right? And so when we're talking about life insurance specifically, that is the only asset that you could actually grow without going into debt. Like if you were to purchase a home, you immediately have to go in debt to buy that asset, right? And a lot of people will hop into the real estate game in order to get a house so they can, you know, leverage the equity, maybe create some passive income.
Sure.
From that, which I get it. I totally get it. But in order to do that, you got to go into debt. You have to go into debt to do that. Or you can literally build equity inside of a cash value life insurance policy. You literally create wealth without going into debt. Yeah, you could buy stocks. Yeah, you could do this. But can you leverage a stock?
No.
Can you borrow against a stock to go fund an investment property? Can you borrow against a stock to go fund your business?
Not at
all. Can you borrow against a stock to provide a private loan to another business? You can't. What do you got to do with it? You got to sell that stock. Once you sell the stock, you automatically interrupt the compounding growth. You automatically interrupt the compounding growth, right? And so that is the key to creating wealth, is uninterrupted compound growth. Uninterrupted compound growth. So what buying a cash value life insurance policy allows you to do is to build an asset, borrow against it, just like you would borrow against the equity in a home, and not interrupt the appreciation of the asset. It literally never stops growing. And I think if more people understood that, especially in our community, they would be beating down the walls to get a life insurance policy. Like, just, you see what I'm saying?
Let me break it down.
It feels like you were going to say something, man.
Let me break it down. I just want to give an example, two examples, real world examples of how you and I are literally doing this right now. Number one, and this is a quick thing, and you can respond to that, right? Number one, someone commented, full-term insurance changes the game. I just want to make sure we're not talking about term insurance. We are talking about permanent insurance, but not term. We're talking about very, very meticulously structured cash value, whole life or indexed universal life exclusively, not term, not GUL, because you can't leverage those. And here's the examples that I want to share about what's the power of those. And when it comes to collaboration, right? So if you needed a loan for yourself or your own business, and you got to go to a bank or your 401k, you're going to have to put in an application, and ultimately, very easily, you could be denied. Similarly, if you're approved, now they own you, right? You're going to owe interest up the wazoo, this, that, and the other. Right, mm-hmm. You have no safety net either. It's just you and the loan.
And you must pay it back.
And you must pay it back, right? So what happens if you flip the script, become your own bank, like I started to this process 3 years ago? It changes everything. What happens on a plane in an emergency? They tell you to put your mask on first, and then you're able to help others. And it's exactly what happened. Like I said, I just got into the personal lending business. Now, I'm not saying I'm open for business. I'm just saying I'm kind of experimenting with it. Because my vision for this company is not just some measly life insurance agent. I want to be a company that fully invests in the people that come to us. What does that look like?
Right.
That means constant coaching, constant
right.
guidance around their monies and business, giving them marketing tips, helping them expand and grow while utilizing a foundation and a financial program that is time-tested, right? And so I'm actually
right.
experimenting
Absolutely.
With this right now. There's two businesses that are clients, and they're working to become clients in other ways. And basically what I did was able to offer them a loan from my personal bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
I approved the loan. I decided why I'm loaning money to them. And they basically applied mm-hmm. to me. And what am I doing? I just pull out $5,000 from my life insurance program. It goes to them. It's accruing an additional interest because I'm not actually accessing my cash. You have tons of videos on that at All Heroes Don't Wear Capes.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, it's being lent out to someone at an extra 20% because I believe
mm-hmm.
in their business. And we're working together to use the money to build an asset, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is just a small piece of the dream, because what happens if not just myself, but my cousin, my sister, my brother-in-law, my girl, my mom, my dad, my aunt, my uncle, my best friend, my business partner, what if we all had these infinite banking programs? And just like a couple of families buy back the block, we buy back the banks, and we're able to loan to each other, and we're able to set up systematic group economics through our group banking systems. We're able to disconnect from Wall Street, disconnect from the Internal Revenue Service using their own 108-year-old tax code, and we're able to build the new world that we're envisioning, right? And so when this idea came to my mind, man, like this is where I see the billion-dollar idea. And it has nothing to do with making me money and everything to do with helping everybody else improve themselves. That's a self-sustainable system. And I cannot wait to continue this. And all it does is it takes people like you listening in and sharing us, sharing our message, sharing kind of our hope and dream of like truly building a better place for everyone to be able to control their prosperity.
Absolutely, man. I'm co-signing that, man, because that's why we link up. We got the same core values. We got the same beliefs. We all are in it for the good reason. You know, because we know we've seen the other side. You know, we have vision. We got the foresight of knowing what we want to build, not just something that's going to last in our generation, but generations down the line, generations to come. You know what I'm saying? And so, like you said, man, buy back the block. Number one, man, be our own bank. Because right now, guess who owns the bank, the commercial bank? The Fed, the central bank, which is who? That's the government.
No, it's
and
not.
So we believe that the
it's the, not the government. It's a private entity.
Technically, it's a private.
Obviously.
On paper, it's a private entity.
But they're linked like this. Yeah,
they're linked like that.
They embed together. They embed together.
Yeah. They linked. Yeah, they're linked, right? But yeah, they're separate. So yeah, they're separate. But so just know that, like, being involved in that type of a system where you really got no control. We got to switch it up. Definitely got to switch it up. Create our own wealth, create our own banks, create our own money. Develop skills to create money. You know,
that's
something that that's really what we passionate about, man.
That's my promise. We're about 5 minutes left here. We're talking about the power of collaboration. Where today we kind of went over the importance of having a coach, both in life, in business, and in financials. And then we talked about grouponomics. We covered a little bit about GameStop and what's going on with Wall Street versus the people. And then if you're just joining us, and I see a couple of people just joining us, we just talked about buying back the block with real estate and cash value life insurance and ultimately creating your own economy within the people around you. And that really ultimately is the best idea of collaboration that I have. And I've been kind of coining this phrase a lot. Because a lot of people have been asking, a lot of people ask me all the time, where should I put my money? What's the best investment? And what I believe in my heart of hearts, the best possible investment you could make in this life is in the people around you.
Right.
And choose the right people to invest in, right? People that are going to bring stuff and value back to you, right? But ultimately, if you spend time and effort and money in the people around you, it's going to come back to you. You're going to create a better world, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we definitely proof of it, because, I mean, sometimes it sounds like way out there, because I can remember my mindset, you know, 5 years ago. It seemed like a bunch of, like, maybe like some hocus pocus. But when you really step out on faith and start applying these rules, I ain't actually going to call them rules. They really laws, man. Be around good people. Do good things. Like, you literally start attracting the right people into your life. And it's not some BS. It's like real, you know. But it's only one way to actually know that is if you actually put it to the test. You feel me?
100%, man.
And that's it, man. So let's not stop ourselves. Let's keep it moving forward.
Speaking of not stopping it and moving forward, I have another appointment in about 30 minutes. We got about 5 minutes left on the call. So I wanted to open it up to any comments. I wanted to shout out those of you that dropped a line and said hello. I really appreciate S. Bland and Gabe's Gabe's, don't buy that Prime America policy, man. Please don't buy that Prime America. Someone said.
Please don't.
Please just talk to either of us or anybody except that. S. Bland, I talked about, we're not talking about full-term insurance. And although I do own a term policy and sometimes sell them, guys, there's much, much better options. And just make sure that you are getting something that is actually going to work and do something specific for you. Right? Don't just blindly buy insurance for no reason. You gotta have a reason to do that. But are there any other questions? I like this comment. They're in bed together, but we're not in that bed.
Yeah. Good energy tracks good people. Absolutely. It sure does. That is for sure. Man, you know what's kind of crazy? Man, I've met a lot of great people lately. Like over the last year or so, like I met so many good people. I'm like, I believe in planting seeds.
Yeah.
You know, you ever heard that scene, that saying, like, you reap what you sow?
You do.
Oh, bro, it's so true.
If you plant, man. If you
like,
plant ice, you're going to harvest wind. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Plant ice, you're going to harvest wind. Plant flowers.
Yeah.
Plant flowers.
All right, now. Now, do we have any questions, any specific questions? They don't necessarily have to be about
I would say questions or any other examples, ideas of group economics, questions about cash value, life insurance, anything else. God's plan. Cue the music. GameStop is going to be interesting. I foresee 200 tomorrow and some limited trading. Nokia and BB is going to be probably bad holders, but this is not investment advice. Do your own research. How do you create a loan real estate app for a marginalized group? Yo, there is literally somebody already doing that. I cannot remember his handle because it's a bunch of letters. This goes to SBLAN88. But I promise you, I will make a post about him on my story tomorrow. He's awesome. Young African-American dude. Huge head of dreads and on every single news broadcast just disrupting it with a $100 million real estate deal. I think it's YW.
Tell me.
Something like that.
Tell me about that, man. You said, how do you create a loan real estate app for? Tell me about that. You mean like an application on a phone software?
Dude, it's really simple. It's crowdfunding real estate on an app. It's super simple. It is not that hard to create a fund and start that. You just have to get SEC filings and holdings. You create your term. I literally just did all this research on your investment policy. How do you know if your life insurance policy is a cash value policy? If it's whole life or index universal life, or a variable universal life, it's technically cash value policy. Whether or not it's structured correctly for you to use it, Gabe, maybe just message Brandon to me, and we could literally tell you in probably like 60 seconds whether or not you're in a place of success or not. So Mary, that answers your question. S. Bland, that answers your question. Shoot me a message. I literally am looking into hedge funds and how to start a fund.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So I'm happy to speak with you guys about just the knowledge that I found. Knowledge is key, right?
But it is key. That's everything.
I'll post that guy's stuff on my story ASAP.
Yeah, man. Please do, because I want to definitely check that out, man. I didn't know there was an app out there, like, already.
I sent him to you, dude. He's dope. He's really cool.
Yeah, man. Please do.
Anytime I see the underdog inviting people to work together to beat the system, I gotta tell you on that. I'm all over that, dude.
Yeah.
I love underdogs, and I consider myself an empathetic capitalist anarchist with green intentions.
For real. Bro, hey, and that's what it takes, though. It takes a bunch of people at the bottom to get together. So here's what I've noticed, like, about people who